what's good, what's good? It's your boy. It's your boy. Welcome to the culture. I'm your host, Joe, a.k.a. South Beach. Welcome y'all to our first episode, Monday night. I'm going to try to do this every Monday night, 7:30, same time, every time. We're going to run an hour. We're going to dive into different various topics and stuff like that, different co-hosts and stuff like that. It's going to be a very good, interesting little journey we're about to take right here. So I hope everybody tune in, enjoy the show, and kind of roll with us a little bit. We're going to make it happen. You know, we're gonna do a couple things, and we're going to have some fun. My co-host, Mr. Russ, right here, we're going to drop some facts, drop some knowledge and stuff like that. So let's just jump up in a couple topics that we're going to discuss. What just previously happened, the NBA Finals, your thoughts and stuff over it. So, Mr. Russ, what was your thoughts about the NBA Finals?
Hey, what's going on? Mr. Russ, a.k.a. Mr. Three. NBA Finals, getting to it pretty much about, you know, what expected, you know, when you're just looking at the makeup of the teams. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. And people don't figure how Kevin Durant impact was so upfront and so visible. I think last year, prior to this year's finals, the Golden State Warriors were a better team than Cleveland Cavaliers. I just felt like once that game five, once they got that momentum down and suspensions or whatever may be, I felt like they just couldn't handle the onslaught. I just felt like they couldn't handle LeBron's onslaught. Then Kyrie started coming too much at the end for them to overcome.
Yeah, totally agree. He had the best player in the world. He can overcome certain obstacles. And one of those things was, you know, yes, Golden State was the better team. They played a better team game and everything. But once you get that momentum going and LeBron, like you said, he can pass the insurmountable odds.
I was telling somebody the other day, I say, what made the difference between Jordan Bulls and LeBron Cavs? I said the Bulls not only had worked a better team, but they also had the best player. You know, people now, Kevin, from what I'm understanding, Kevin Durant is now the best player in the NBA, which I kind of disagree with that notion. I feel like
I wholeheartedly disagree. He just had it easy. When you see this guy, because he's never had it this easy. You know, when he's in Oklahoma City and he's coming down, you know, the focus was on him. You have him dribbling the ball down the court, and people are clearing out, chasing shooters, getting out of his way now. I mean, it's not even a joke. And the biggest thing, what I said with team makeup, when you go back to the year before, Golden State, what was their biggest flaw? What was their biggest weakness? It was their three-man, the wingman, Harrison Barnes, couldn't hit a shot, right?
True.
So you take away your biggest weakness from the year before, and you fill it with the perfect player to fill it. What did you expect to happen? You're strong at the one, the two, and the four.
That's a major upgrade.
I mean, you fill it with the perfect slot. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better fit.
Yeah, that's a major upgrade from Harrison Barnes to Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
They got 6'10 shooter, can get to anywhere on the court, pull up, whatever. And his range is just so unlike anything else we've seen before because of his size.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind
his
of
offensive
disadvantage.
Skill set, yeah. Offensive skill set is probably the best in the game.
So I was comparing him. I say, who would you really compare to him? Like, I say, Carmelo has a similar offensive skill set minus.
Yes.
Carmelo has a better post game.
Yeah, better post game, not as good from deep.
No. So what do you think about Durant defensively? So about here now, he's just a defensive stopper and stuff like that.
I
think
I wouldn't call
more
him.
That they're more Golden State defensive team ball, defensive team as a whole, how they play team defense.
Well, yes, how you play team defense, because that's how do you account for Steph Curry, who's not a great defender.
That's true.
I mean, Durant, who's not a bad defender, he wasn't a bad defender in OKC. is just, you know, with the other options, you know, him having to carry, when you have to carry that workload offensively, your defense is going to get lax. It's going to get lax. And like you said, with the team defense and everybody just knowing their role, everybody just high basketball IQ on that team, knowing when to switch, knowing when to help. I mean, it just makes it, when it makes it just so much easier for him. And he can, with his length and his athleticism, it's just a matter of, hey, I know these guys got my back. I can expend the effort. So,
okay, I feel that totally of stuff like that. Now, we have a lot of hypothetical. Now there's a lot of player movement talk and stuff like that. Like recently, yesterday, there's talks of Paul George joining Cleveland Cavaliers. Well, Indiana's searching for a kind of trade deal since they're not going to have no type of bargaining chips after this season that's upcoming. Because Paul George is due to be a free agent, he's preferring to go to the Los Angeles Lakers, his hometown, which where he's from, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So pretty much his agent and people are telling teams that he'll just be a rental for 1 year. So how you feel about Cleveland's pursuit of him? Along with also there's news now today that they're also pursuing Jimmy Butler. Which do you feel would be the better fit for Cleveland?
Well, like I said, everybody's trying to make that move. Cleveland's move is to try to match Golden State.
Pretty much.
And you have to look, what did we just talk about? Golden State feels their biggest weakness with the greatest player for demand out there, right?
That's true.
Who fit perfectly what they had. So, yeah, you can add a Paul George, you can add a Jimmy Butler, but the thing is, Golden State didn't have to give anything up. Cleveland would have to give something up. And like you said, what's their biggest weakness? What's the biggest weakness Cleveland has?
Ooh, Kevin Love.
Really?
Nah, I mean their weakness to me, I think that they needed, besides their bench, was their bench didn't show up and stuff, they were very porous. They need, I would say, another scorer, but somebody to actually defend. Like, pretty much similar to, like, them, a two-way player. They need another two-way player because LeBron can't guard this one. They wore him down. The screens, everything like that, backdoor, running, the ball movement. The ball movement was beautiful by Golden State. I can't knock them for that.
Mm-hmm.
So it just pretty much wore down. I don't care what LeBron say about how great a shape he is, they'll wear anybody down. All that going around here, there, guarding here, guard there, guard this. And he has to do so much more opposed to what Durant has to do. Durant only has to lock in on LeBron. So everybody else pretty much going to fill their role.
I mean,
Steph Curry.
But it's like the different offenses that they run. Golden State is the unselfish, make the extra pass, get it to the open man. They have a flowing offense. When you got an ISO offense, it's easy to key in on LeBron. It's easy to key in on Kyrie. They're going to get more tired having to attack the rim and everything. And when, like you said, when you don't have that bench coming out, when your shooters aren't hitting. The thing about Kevin Love, and he's getting the bad rap in my opinion, is he was in a lose-lose situation whenever because of Tristan Thompson. Tristan Thompson did not show up on the boards. So
I can still get the blood with Khloe Kardashian.
Oh, and then the pants is a little too tight, too.
Extra tight.
Man, but if he doesn't show up on the boards, Love feels like, okay, I have to go get the boards. He had a 21-rebound game that nobody even thought of. 21 rebounds in one game. But he has to – so he's thinking, I got to crash the boards. Whenever he crashed the boards in the game, his scoring suffered.
That's true.
But when he scored, he couldn't crash the boards.
That's very true.
So Tristan Thompson's game hurt Kevin Love's game. And that's what I'm saying. Their weakest position, and you, first of all, you're playing two guys on the court. Neither of them are really centers.
None of them.
Neither,
I mean, there's really no traditional
center.
There's no traditional center.
No, they don't have one. But you're already struggling playing those two on the court to begin with. And then you go to JR, who played good the last three games of the series. JR did good, but the first two, he was non-existent. I think JR is better coming off the bench.
I thought about that. I liked that.
He could expend more energy on the defensive end coming off the bench, and you don't have to, with him being streaky, you don't have to rely on him being a starter.
That's true.
Starters, you need consistent certain players. You can't have streaky starters like that. The problem with Cleveland is the best possible fit for them is just like you said, they need somebody that can knock down shots and they can play defense, right?
Yeah.
The problem is the best possible player for them plays for Golden State, and that's Klay Thompson.
And Klay, I don't think Klay's going nowhere.
Oh, no, he's not going anywhere. That's the problem. So you talk about Paul George. Paul George is very similar to LeBron.
Yeah.
In the way he plays. So you get him, okay, Jimmy Butler. I mean, are they knockdown shot guys outside like that?
Jimmy can knock down outside shots, but Jimmy is a player like he can play off the ball as well, too. Jimmy is a two-way player, so he's going to give you defense, and Jimmy can give you 20, 25 a game. Like
I would take the one that's better off the ball because LeBron, you don't need another ball-centric person. You got LeBron, you got Kyrie. You don't need another – I mean, LeBron's a facilitator. But they already take enough ISO. They already take up all the ISO plays. You can't have that third ISO player. And then you got to realize that third player's come in, his numbers are going to suffer. It's just happened. It happened to Chris Bosh. It happened to Kevin Love. It's going to happen to this guy.
Yeah.
Unless he gets his shots outside where they need him to. Then LeBron and Kyrie can kick it to him all day. They'll be happy to do it.
Yeah.
That's the only way where you're going to get buckets.
So in turn,
I would have to go with Jimmy Buckets.
Jimmy McBuckets. I like Jimmy, too. Jimmy presents a lot of things. Paul George, too. They both like similar players.
Yeah.
Paul George will do more ISO and stuff like that. Like he's very ISO-centric. But that's what they call the point of in Indiana's offense because he's their franchise player. So
yeah, you do get that defense from both of them. So that's good.
I think they just need that. I mean, I'm not saying they will have won the series because, I mean, I can't say they will. I mean, LeBron would did that, but,
yeah.
Like, either one would have made a bigger difference than just what they had because Tristan Thompson was even there. At some points in time, I was wondering what he was doing on the court because,
Love disappeared at the wrong time in that last game. He disappeared at the complete worst time.
It's amazing. Steph Curry has more total rebounds than you.
Yes, that's
and your job.
There's no excuse for that. And because they need those second chance points that he was giving them the year before. They needed that. You can laugh at all you want. They needed that hustle guy like Dellavedova from the years past. They needed that guy.
Yeah.
Darren Williams, Kyle Korver, none of that. Richard Jefferson, he's showing his age. They definitely need to retool because they need to attack it. It's easier said than done. You can say, okay, they need to go and go to state. You can say that, but until you get a realistic move, a realistic deal, and somebody that's going to improve their team.
And Darren LeDun.
Yeah.
He just looked like he just wore down, done.
he's never been good for pressure moments anyway. So
he hasn't been the same ever since he left Utah.
Nah, took all that money and they put that faith in him. Mm.
Well, let's switch it up a little bit. We'll stay a little bit to the NBA, but I want to touch on one thing. Where do you feel in the whole MJ versus LBJ type debate?
See me, I don't put much stock in it because, I mean, like you said, everybody's ranking where they're at. We change it up every week. We ranking them every single week. Where they at now? Where they at now? And it's hard to compare players from different eras.
That's why I
don't like comparing players from different eras because you can't say, you like players. You want to see players that could have played in any era, and they're two of players that could have played in any era.
Mm.
So when you get down to the minutia and everything, the rules and this. To me, he's still in the same place. I'd still have MJ higher.
That's how I feel.
Not by much.
That's how I feel. People
tend to knock LeBron for various reasons. I mean, some personal. I don't know why they have personal reasons because they don't really know this person personally, but that's their own choice. I believe LeBron can be critiqued. I don't believe no player is above critique and stuff like that. And so, I mean, and you got your big mass majority that don't like LeBron because of his fans. But I say, if you think about it, fans are always going to ride for their player, just like, you know, a lot of people hate the Patriots. It's because they're fans. A lot of people hate the Saints because of their fan base.
Mm-hmm.
But I say, well, you got to look at it. What fan ain't going to go over and above for their team or their player? So you got to remember, it's just, it's different between fact and opinion. Majority of them stating opinion, how they feel.
And that's how everybody is. Most of the, and I go to further. You say some people, I say most of the people talk bad about LeBron or try to put him down. It's their own personal feelings towards LeBron. They don't. It's not based on anything relevant.
Yeah, you're a Cowboys fan. You're a Cowboys fan.
Why
majority of people hate y'all? Because of y'all fan base, right?
They say that the fan base, every team has annoying fans. That's what
it.
Everybody doesn't get. Every team has annoying fans. The difference is, it's just more Cowboy fans.
Yeah. It's just
so
like
you'll just encounter more of us.
Yeah.
And I can't lie. I don't like some Cowboy fans. I don't like delusional Cowboy fans. I'm like, okay, we're going to the Super Bowl. I'm like, hold up, man. I was like, we got a rookie quarterback. What rookie quarterback you don't win to the Super Bowl?
That's true.
I have to set them straight, but that's no reason to hate the Cowboys. You don't shoot the messenger. Don't hate the Cowboys. Oh, I don't like their fans. So you laugh and want to point in them because you hate their fans.
Yeah, that's true.
It's the same way with LeBron. And I'm like, okay, so you happy to they're excited when this dude fails. They gloat. I mean, people gloat when this dude fails. What is wrong with you that you got to gloat when somebody else fails? Just because somebody else compared him and said he's better than Michael Jordan, so you got to try your best to knock this guy down.
Yeah, that's true. They knock this man and stuff like this. I mean, like I said, critique. Keep it like just pretty basic. I don't like his game. I don't think he's this and that. And that's cool. I don't have no problem with that. You can knock him all day. And I try to keep my critique on his opinion. Thing is, like, I say LeBron didn't come through in the four quarters. He didn't. I mean, because maybe he was tired and stuff like that. He needed more. But he also, the rest of the team needed to step up, too.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course. But that's in the stat line. That's something you can point to in the stat line. A lot of the stuff these guys bring up, you can't point to anything. It's like you said, it's opinion, not fact. You can point to, okay, where was he in the fourth quarter? Well, 2 points.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And like you said, he needed help. People are gonna key in on him. When I pass the ball to somebody that's wide open, you know, they gotta hit the shot. That's what you're here for. So You got to take everything with a grain of salt. You analyze everything. You never leave everything out. You never just do enough research to say, okay, this fits my point, so I stop right here. Nah, you keep going. You look at every avenue.
I'm a LeBron fan. Cleveland's not my team at all. Period.
Yeah.
I'm a Heat fan. I'm always be a Heat fan, but I always did like LeBron. And the thing is, I didn't like LeBron initially coming to the NBA because I felt like his hype was way too big, and I felt like it was disrespectful to Kobe, who I felt like right then and time, that was his era, that he was the best player. I felt like it was very disrespectful to him.
Yeah.
And stuff
but
like
see,
that.
But that's we getting back to the point where how can you blame him for that? It's everybody else that's hyping him up. He's not the one out there, hyping himself up and running the hype machine and doing the publicity. It's everybody else, all the other critics, you know. Remember they tried to say Wiggins was the next coming of LeBron.
That's true.
They tried to hype him up, and he hadn't lived up to the hype, but I'm saying he's not the one driving it. Just like a LeBron, I don't knock him that much for that. But all you had to do was just say, okay, I disagree.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with disagreeing. I mean, me disagreeing with you doesn't mean, you know, I want to go to war with you.
That's true. It doesn't.
It's just a disagreement.
Well, you know, I feel like if Kevin Durant would have lost, I felt like he should have got the same, I guess, criticism and stuff as LeBron get.
That's true. I agree with that.
I feel like every player should get the same whatever.
I totally agree. He didn't get like the backlash that LeBron got for going to Miami. Kevin Durant wasn't even close to what LeBron got. And it's like you said, it's not like LeBron, like you said, you see a lot of people, the memes and stuff. It's not like LeBron went to Boston when he couldn't get past them. It's not like true enough, Kevin Durant, hey, I may not like the move, but I'll defend your right to make that move. You have every right to make that move. I may not agree with it. A lot of people may not, but I defend with your right to make that move. The biggest problem I had with Kevin Durant was because he criticized other players before. He criticized LeBron when he left, tweeted about it. He criticized Dwight Howard when he went to L.A., talking about what happened to loyalty and all this.
Pretty much he's a hypocrite to what he...
And that's my biggest thing. He's a hypocrite. Two things I can't stand. One is ignorance. One is being a hypocrite. And that's the biggest problem I had. You can't slam other guys for doing it, and then years later you make that same move.
That's true. And both of them are not going to feel that way. They're going to feel like it's just always one-sided and stuff like that. Like, oh, man, well, this is LeBron. He should have did this, or he should have did that, or that's this. Well, I mean, if that's the case, then, I mean, you got to fault everybody for every situation they do. If he's this and that, just as the rank, keep it just 100 with the whole situation to go. Criticize one, criticize the other. And the thing is, like, most people think I dislike the rent. I don't dislike the rent. I mean, it was his choice to go. It was his choice. He was a free agent.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't do nothing about the signing and stuff like that. Most people are like, well, he should have stayed and they should have did like this. That team could be to go to the State Warriors. They were in position. If they will stay in Tech this year and Golden State will make the change they had minus the Durant thing, OKC will beat them. We'll met them again.
OKC would have been just as competitive as when they was up 3-1.
Yeah.
They would have had the same opportunities. And truly, he decided to go to a place where it was a lot easier.
Yeah. He got his ring. Guys ring, do his thing.
Yep.
You know.
He's the champion.
Yeah.
You can't take it away from him. No matter how he got it, you can't take it away from him.
That's true. Durant a dog. I can't take nothing away from his game today, his skill set. But that boy, West Nightmare.
Yeah.
West, the guy's
a freak.
He's gonna have to tone it to a point where they're gonna have to put better pieces around him, because they're just gonna wear him down.
That's true, but he's gonna have to change his style of play. The biggest thing I actually enjoyed the way he played the year before with KD when he changed his style. The problem is when they got to the fight, when they were up 3-1, he went back to his old ways.
That's true.
If he would have stayed the way he, I think if he would have continued to play the way he was playing when he was sharing the ball, that was the first year you saw his assists shoot up. And then this year, I feel like he was, regardless of what anybody else say, I feel like he was playing to get a triple double every game.
He might have been playing to get a triple double every game.
Because, I mean, there's no way you get that much assists and stuff. But then when the fourth quarter comes, it's okay, get out the way, hero ball.
Yeah, he just have to adjust that.
I mean, and part of that is, like you said, they got to put pieces around him so he feels like he can share the ball.
He wanted so bad that he goes about the manner of it the wrong way when it comes to the full quarter. He has to continue doing playing it like the whole game through. And with Sharon and Dylan hitting his open shooters, you know, because they're going to, whenever he's driving the paint, they're going to collapse. Boom, kick out, you know.
Mm-hmm. True, but he has to learn. He has to learn that from LeBron. LeBron realized, I can go out there and score 40 a night, but we're gonna lose. Yeah. If I don't get these other guys going, just like in the finals, if I don't get Love and Kyrie going, no matter what I do, we're going to lose. And they did it. I mean, game three, you see what happened. They blew game three in the end. If they could have hit a shot in the fourth quarter, they probably would have won. It would have been 2-2. And fourth game, when they were about to get swept, he got Kyrie and Love going, and you saw what happened. Westbrook has to take the same approach. I have to get everybody else going. I'm going to get mine. But in order to win, it's like people give you a pass. It's like, okay, you go out here, you score all these points, and if you lose, okay, you scored a lot, even though you took like 50. I mean, Westbrook had the worst out of the top 50 scores in the NBA. He had the worst shooting percentage.
Yep,
and the most turnovers.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know MVP that's ever done that.
It's crazy, man. The thing is, I felt like he was starting to get wore down anyway toward the end of the season. But man, he just keeps humming.
But we've seen it. It always happens to guards. It always happens to guards. I mean, look what happened to Derrick Rose. He wore down. Look what happened to Isaiah Thomas this year. He wore down. I mean, it's going to happen to guards.
Man, that's a lot of stress. The strenuous, all that play, the play he was at.
And you got to think, it used to be a big man league with, you know, Russell, Kareem, and Wilt. Then he switched to a guard league. You had Isaiah and Magic, those guys. And then it's a three-man league, man. It's a wing. It's their league now.
You know,
LeBron,
I miss that traditional center role.
You're never going to see it again.
It's just stretch forward now, pretty much. That's pretty much
all you have. You're never going to see traditional centers again.
I know. That's
because of development. Because when you're coming up, you're just taller than everybody. So you're not going to develop your game. You're not going to develop your game. You're taller than everybody. They just give the tall guy the ball. Where else they come? They're not going to learn anything at AAU. That's just a showcase.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's all. That's all AAU is, a showcase league. So you go to college. If you are good, you come out after 1 year. You don't develop anything.
I think, you know, the whole mindset of super teams started with AAU. Because these guys, they grow up, they play these AAU teams together, and they see the potential of them playing together. They might be friends, some might not be friends, but they look at the benefits of it. So that's what gives them that concept and idea. And I think they just go from there. And stuff like
you
that.
It's funny. You see what David Stern was trying to prevent then, huh? With CP3 and everything. He probably knew what he was talking about.
Yeah. So let's flash forward and talk a little football.
Yeah, let's get out of that. That season's over with. Let's move on to the real boys.
So how you feel? What's what you've been hearing from a lot of several mini camps and stuff like that?
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing is going to be the quarterback battles, man. You see these young guys coming in. I'm looking at these quarterback battles, and not only that, but the second-year guys, you know, trying to avoid that sophomore slump, and then those, you know, those third- and fourth-year guys trying to take the next leap. So you got your rookie guys coming in, you know, the battles. You see Deshaun Watson and Deshaun Kizer.
Yeah.
Ties are turning heads in Cleveland. I mean, they've been looking for the answer there for forever. So, and you got the Texans, whose window could be closing soon. I mean, do you wait for the rookie to develop, or do you throw him in there? It's hard. It's hard to tell a team that's on the cusp that you're going to have a rookie quarterback, and you're going to
that division could be very tough pretty soon.
Very tough.
With Jacksonville defense is going to be something. They secondary something.
On paper. Because we've seen them in Jacksonville. They signed free agents before. So, on paper, it looks good.
Jalen's
the beast.
Yeah, I watched him last year. He's going to be
– I was debating whether Zeke or him. Even though I saw the way Zeke was tearing up the league and had a good season, Dallas, I was still watching. I still would go watch Jacksonville play just to see him. And I would see him locking guys down. I'd be like, man.
Jalen didn't get that notoriety because of how Jacksonville's season was and how they was very lackluster in a sense. Not only that,
because you didn't hear much about him after he moved the corner in college.
That's true.
He was just out there locking people down, and the biggest detractor, you had some detractors talking about whether he could actually play the position.
I feel like he's a better cover man than Marcus Peters. I like Marcus Peters, but I feel like Jalen Ramsey is a better cover man as a
press cover man. I think he's better. He's okay, tighter. But when you're talking about instinctive and playmaking, Peters is probably the best in the league.
Peters came out of nowhere because I didn't think he was gonna have an impact like that. I feel like
he didn't come out of nowhere. He would have been the top rated corner if it wasn't for off the field issues.
Yeah,
he was.
I feel like he was gonna be a good player. I didn't think he was gonna be what he is now. You know what I'm saying?
I watched on leading up to that. I was like, man, this kid is good. I'm like, if he did not get in trouble at Washington, he would have went way above what's looking like a bust now in Trey Waynes from Michigan State going to Minnesota. So
yeah, I haven't really saw too much of that from him. I know he's
playing a little better, but you know he's got Rose on the other side who's playing good.
Okay, who's your dark horse?
And old man Terrence Newman. Dark horses.
Can we, I talk about as far as cornerbacks.
Cornerback, dark horse corners. Oh man. I don't think there's such thing. I mean, surprise leap corners. Trying to think. I'm thinking your guy.
Who's going to make us an ascension out of nowhere? Not say nowhere, but just been like right down that cusp and just boom, wait for a breakout season, per se. And hold one second. We got Carlos, so I'm going to let them chime in a little bit and see what they say.
All right.
Carlos, 719, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up? This is Mitch.
What's good? You got any thoughts, baby, about what we just was discussing about cornerbacks, NFL, little NFL talk and stuff like that right now doing mini camps? Any cornerbacks you see that caught your eye that could make a surprise ascension this year?
As far as rookie or any corner?
It could be rookie or it could be
any corner you think about to make that next leap.
That next leap? I don't know about the next leap, but I think Hayden is going to have a better year than he did last year. I think he's going to have a Pro Bowl year this year. Yeah.
I didn't hear too much from him this year. Was he injured?
Huh?
Was Joe Hayden injured this year? I didn't really hear too much about him.
Yeah, you didn't hear much about him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the reason for thinking about Joe Hayden?
I forgot how many games he missed, but he wasn't the same Joe Hayden from the year before where he got his name, last couple years before where he got his name. But I'm looking for him to make a real impact this year, almost like a comeback year.
Okay.
I'll take it. Okay. The thing I got to see on Hayden is, has he improved his technique? Because he's always gotten by on just being a good athlete. Yeah. I need to see him improve his technique because you can only go for so long. That's what Eric Allen, that's what he had to teach Charles Woodson out there in Oakland.
Right.
Good old Charles. Yeah, he was getting by. I think my breakout defensive back probably going to be – I'm going to have to go with Kevin Johnson.
Ooh.
From the Texans. He got banged up, but I think he's already the best corner on that team with Boye leaving.
That's a good pick.
I think.
Yeah.
That's what I think. He's a feisty little dude. Jonathan Joseph's getting a little long in the tooth, and Kareem Jackson never lived up to the hype, in my opinion. So I'm thinking him coming off that injury, he's gonna take over a starting gig.
I can see that.
Of course, when they go three corners, he'll kick into the slot because he's the only one of those three that can cover the slot.
Okay, let's discuss the main thing. I've had this debate, this talk a lot all season. Who is the best running back in the NFL? Ezekiel Elliott or Le'Veon Bell? Which you can't go wrong with either choice. But who do you feel personally is the best?
You say out of those two? Because I had to put David Johnson in the conversation too.
I want to throw David in there too. We could throw David. Throw David up in there. And I don't want to throw DeMarco. DeMarco inconsistent.
No, I can't throw DeMarco in there.
He had a good year last year, but
Titans
have a hell of an offensive line though.
Yeah. So does Dallas. So you can't knock him for that.
I'm not saying that's all no skill and just offensive line because he definitely has to do stuff, but
he just got back to more a style he's used to. So,
I would say, to me, I
go with Zeke.
I am
not biased. Not biased. Nah, not biased at all. I got to go. Well, it's a couple of things. Zeke has more breakaway speed. Now, Le'Veon, he's the better receiver, period. He's the better receiver. Zeke has a little more breakaway speed. He runs a little tougher. And I like running back that hits the hole. And, Le'Veon, he's doing that wait-and-see look now when he runs. The main issue, though, is the off-the-field issues with Le'Veon. Zeke's having some. He hasn't been suspended yet.
Yeah.
But Le'Veon, getting suspended, if you're taking yourself off the field, I gotta lean toward the other guy.
Okay, I have no problem with that. Okay.
And that's the only reason. I mean, if he's on the field, if you're talking about purely just on the field, I'll go with Le'Veon there.
Anybody else got any insight on that, who they want, Le'Veon, Ezekiel? Let me know. What's your thoughts?
Believe it or not, man, I think when healthy, I think Adrian Peterson is still the best back in the league.
Okay.
But that's the most important thing, though. What's the best ability?
Availability.
Yeah. So you feel he's going to have a bounce back year this year with the Saints?
Yeah, I think so. But I think because they're going to be splitting carries, I don't think he's going to be a 1,000-yard back, but I think he's going to be solid. Still going to be a top 10, I think.
Yeah. Now, the biggest thing, do you think Sean Payton goes back to that, more ball control offense? He runs the ball. Last time they won the Super Bowl, they ran the ball.
Exactly. It was balanced. Now, it depends
and they drafted the new kid, too. So, how many carries does AP get?
Yeah. But you got to remember, the Saints always try to be balanced, but they always play from behind. So, you turn into a passing team, and you got Drew Brees, so you're comfortable passing already. And then when you always plan from behind, it's hard to be balanced that way.
I think Sean Payton just about got comfortable getting Drew Brees those 5K seasons. Whether they were behind or ahead, they were trying to get Drew Brees a passing touchdown just to keep that record going. And they never tried to get back to that balance. They never tried to get back. That year they won the Super Bowl, that was the lowest passing attempts Drew Brees ever had in his career with the Saints.
True. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I agree.
I mean, that offense, the Saints' offense is never going to be a real issue, per se, because they're an issue of defense. It's always going to be that.
That's true. Yep, that's always going to be the issue.
It's always going to be the issue of defense and how they develop what they drafted just now recently. And, they also just lost Teron Armstead. the offensive tackle, which was a big loss, but I guess they feel like the rookie they drafted, was it Ramchek?
Ramchek out of Wisconsin.
I think that he's going to be, like, implemented, put it in play. But, you know, I still say I never hold too much in rookies like that, especially offensive line. I'm not saying he can't, but it's just different looks and stuff they're giving you.
It depends.
You know.
Left tackle be rough.
It's
always rough.
So
it's going to be very different and stuff like that. Just seeing him out that play. I still think it's a major loss, blow for him since he out 4 to 6 months. But if the rookie can come in and just sustain, they should be fine, you know. Because, I mean, I'm sure they're going to do things like five-step, two-step drop, three-step drop, you know, stuff to aid them.
The best thing you help our offensive line out is by running the ball. You let them come off and attack. You don't get – if they get back in those, my man just said, if they get back in those coming from behind, having to throw the ball, you put that guy, he has to sit back on his heels and pass protect. They have to be balanced. That's their key to success. And that's how you help out. That's how you help out the defense. Much like Dallas subpar defense. When you run the ball, you're balanced. You keep that defense off the field. Then you can do it to help them out.
That's what killed Atlanta in the Super Bowl.
That's true.
Yep.
That was.
When you only run the ball four times the rest of the game after a 28-3 lead.
And look what you had. Look what you had. Yeah, Freeman. And Freeman was chomping to get at it, too.
Yep.
Freeman, a dog. He completely opened my eyes because I didn't think he was going to be like that from Florida State. I mean, I know he was a solid little player. I know he was going to be solid, but, man, that dude's a little dog.
I agree with you. He surprised me. And
he's a little dog.
Seminole fan. He surprised me. I thought he would just be a third down back.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Hey, fellas.
Yeah.
Hey, so what do y'all think now that Jameis Winston has some great, great weapons, do y'all think he's going to have a better year than Cam?
Well, I'll let my partner handle this, but we were talking about that earlier about quarterback taking the next step.
Well, with that, like we were talking about, the thing with Jameis, his big thing is he has to do a better job at his interceptions. He want to do so much, but then he do too much. He don't go. Sometimes he'll not hit his check down stuff. He slowly improved in that last year, but he thinks big play, big play, big play, and so he's gonna make that mistake. You know, he thinks because his arm's so strong, he's gonna throw that into double coverage. He can get that in that tight window. He can always make every throw because that's what he was taught. You know, because of his arm strength. He's done made it, but he's also done lost it, too, with plays like that. Play smarter and take what's given, not trying to make something up. I think he'll do better. And then it also depends on our offensive line, you know.
James, I agree. He has a little bit of that gunslinger mentality. Yeah.
Jameis got hit, the second or third most in the NFL? And that's not going to do too good for especially a young quarterback. I mean, and as far as going into – granted, he's tough, but still, you don't want your quarterback taking that much of a beating. You know, so.
Nah.
It just depends on stuff. I think he can. I'm thinking he's going to make a good leap this year because there's a lot of hype on him right now. He's a solid quarterback, but to make it to that next level, he has to do better with his mistakes.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean,
I feel like
if he played like Dak, his mentality, if he was used like with Dak, Dak make plays by making the right play. He's not going to force it. Jameis, he's going to force the issue because talking like that, he has a big, big boom type of thing going on, you know, and sometimes it'd be bust, you know.
Well, we go back to that. The biggest thing he needs help with, he needs that running game. They need Doug Martin.
Yeah. And
take some of that pressure off of him.
I still feel we should have drafted a running back. I'm not sure. We
did draft one out of Boise, another one out of Boise.
he looks the same type of player as Doug, but they say he's a little bit faster than Doug. He's like a 4.3, like real.
Yeah, he's a little faster.
Yeah, so I have to see how he do. I mean, I'm hearing good things, but they say Martin tearing it up at camp, so he's in one of the modes where he's trying to prove himself. So we'll see how he do off the full game.
Consistent and stay healthy. So if he gets that together, that in turn should help James. Biggest thing
with Doug, consistency. Yeah. He'll fall off 1 year, come back, and like you, him and Adrian Peterson going neck and neck that year for the Russian title. And he'll do that. But why he can't do it consistently? He'll get injured this year, then boom. Last year he had to hooked on the mollies and all the Adderall stuff. Because, I mean, that's that. Because he come from Boise to Tampa, which is a big party life. So has a nice little party scene, and they say he just couldn't handle himself in that. So what is he going to do now, the whole thing? What is he going to do for the long run? Doug ain't getting no younger in a sense like that. So
running back shelf life for sure, too.
So what are you looking for? I like the 1-2 punch they have in Atlanta. I would love to have that in Tampa. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's just a way to be, so.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, Dallas has a good setup. Dallas had did good with how they nurtured their rookies. They didn't put too much on the plate and stuff like that and let them make plays when it was time to make plays. They didn't force it. Dak didn't force it. And Zeke didn't force it. Zeke took what was given to him. You know?
Yeah.
If he had to make a cut, boom, 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 he made the cut. If it's one-on-one open space, Zeke going to beat you every time.
Yeah, he's the right running back. He's the right fit for that offense. Always going forward, always getting positive yards. Good receiver out the backfield. And he, like I said, Dak, he's just very cerebral, very mature for his age. Just to go out there and make the right play, you know. And the best thing I liked about him, he never made the same mistake twice.
No.
He learned from his mistake. Yeah.
True story. My brother-in-law used to cut Dak's hair.
Yeah.
Nobody know that. My brother-in-law used to cut Dak's hair when he was out here. He was born in Lake Charles, well, Sulphur per se, Sulphur, Louisiana, and he moved to Shreveport. I forgot when, but my brother-in-law would tell me about him before I really noticed him at Mississippi State. For anything like that, like he kept telling me, he's been the kid good. And I said, okay, I'm gonna have to check him out. And just telling me, he said, I cut his hair. And so when I saw him, like, I said, man, that's the guy you cut. Yeah, I was telling you about. Said, okay, I said, man, and I just listened to talk. I said, he's a very intelligent kid for his age, very mature. You know, he reminds me of like similar to like Russell Wilson was the mindset. You know,
yeah,
and stuff like that. So
definitely. And the other thing, like you said, everybody's heard his story and everything he went through. I don't think anything can rattle him after what he went through.
And that's true. His mom.
But I'm gonna give y'all some truth on his upbringing, man. A lot of what a lot of media don't understand. His mom is from here, where I'm from, Sabine Parish, real prejudiced place. And his dad, his real dad, is actually from here. And they actually shunned her and sent her away when they found out she got pregnant by a black guy. So the guy that actually raised him is not his biological dad. His biological dad stays here.
Yeah.
And a lot of people actually resent him for not, you know, being in his life and trying to pursue and see where he's from. But his dad was a all-state athlete here. His dad was an all-sport athlete. I mean, something amazing. You know, he got it genetically engineered in him to be what he is. You know, he's a very intelligent young man, you know. But just to make a long story short, you know, you never know where your kids will end up. You know, you really don't.
Yeah.
I'm not a Dallas Cowboys fan, but I don't have nothing but respect for the young man because of the accomplishments, you know, and his poise and intelligence, you know.
And I was skeptical about it. I thought, okay, we just bought in time till Romo came in. The one thing I saw that convinced me of him, and they were playing against, I think it was Cleveland. They were playing the Cleveland Browns. And Dez Bryant, he got
T.I.'d on one play, and he didn't catch the ball. Another time, got a little handsy with him again, and he's jawing back and forth with the referee, jawing back and forth, Dez. And I saw him go and pull Dez Bryant to the side, and he said something. And you got to think at this time, Dez Bryant was the biggest Tony Romo fan, tweeting and updating, oh, Romo almost back, Romo. I saw him pull him to the side, calm him down, set him straight. And after that, that's when they took off. And you never heard Dez tweet about Tony Romo again.
Yeah. And that thing said, well, they said locker room, they say he done took over as a captain, his personality and stuff.
Natural.
And it wasn't nothing he forced it, it just naturally came from. You know?
Yeah.
And I said, that's what's up. That's the same. James has a big personality. Like, his is different, you know? James is like,
yeah, so he's boisterous, he's loud. Yeah, James is going to get your attention.
Yeah, James, like, I was just watching him. I say, this dude, like, they, like, from just going and stuff like that, from reports and stuff like that, from people that stay down there and know and stuff, like, they say they love James. Like, he is that dude. He's in the community. He's this, and that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're going to hear all the negative things because that's just how it is now because of what he has done at Florida State. So it's always going to be that media target on his back.
That's how the media is, man.
And, but yeah, they don't report the good. Like, even with the situation with the little girl, that was an off day. Nobody knew about that. He just went out the blue to talk to them kids. And they're not going to say that part. They just said, James just said girls can't do this and nothing like that. In which, like, when I heard it, I said, I don't believe he meant it like that. His words was poor. His wording was poor.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But I know
yeah.
what his
yeah.
I know what he was trying to.
Yeah, you can hear with him. You can see, you can tell where their heart is. His heart is in the right place. You know, and after you know that, you know it's you don't need to read
yeah.
much into it.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
He got me.
So
I feel like, you know, Tampa finally has their first true franchise quarterback because everybody else been busting.
You told me the same thing. You told me the same thing when Freeman was there, man.
I thought so with Freeman. I didn't know about the cocaine and stuff, you know. That was a different story. I didn't know about the cocaine. I thought he had some. You know, I want these young guys like that to succeed. And I
yeah.
think James is completely opposite of Josh. You know. So, and that whole mess right there, boom. Because, you know, Tampa wouldn't know a franchise quarterback because they never had one. Super Bowl we won was basically off defense and a plug in at quarterback. Brad Johnson, only thing he had to
yeah.
do was just don't turn it over.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all he had to do. Sapp and them, they was going to do it. You keep that game within 20, a low score game, Tampa's in there. That's it.
Yeah.
Didn't need that much. But now it's different now. So, I mean, I think Jameis is on the right path. It's all about how they keep developing things around him. You know?
Yeah. That's with any quarterback, though.
That's the whole thing. I mean, James has natural gifts, but what you put around him and how he molds it, everything molds together. Just like I love
about?
Seeing with that. Just over how everything fits in together with them. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything has to work and be on point. Like, Dallas, it seemed like when Dak got that, it seemed like he's been there forever. Everything just fit in perfectly.
Well, the
you know
funny thing about Dak is it seems like he was a better fit for this offense than he was for his college offense.
True.
To me, it seemed like he was playing out of position, in the wrong offense in college. Cause, yeah, he's a big kid. I mean, he's not, but and you know that Dan Mullen system. To me, he's more a typical drop back passer, kind of like when Russell Wilson went from NC State to Wisconsin.
Dan Mullen offense.
Russell Wilson
hit
more in Wisconsin's system than he ever did in NC State.
Man, he showed off in that Wisconsin system.
Exactly. When you get those cerebral, intelligent quarterbacks, and you give them that balance,
yeah.
I mean, it makes them dangerous.
Dan Mullen offense hindered him.
I agree.
It hindered him from what you're looking at now. If he could have done everything, if they had opened it up, like, let him be who he is, like, when they are in Dallas, it would have been amazing what Mississippi State could have done. They had the talent. They didn't have, like, dynamic receivers and then everything pretty much hinged on him. Only thing everybody had to do that job.
That's why they had to run that offense. They had to have him as a running threat and everything. and, you know, to open up those receivers who weren't as dynamic. So
yeah,
I understand why they had to run the offense. I understand why a lot of colleges run that offense. But he's better suited for what Dallas is doing.
Yeah, it looks perfect. Like, it just everything just molded together. Man, and then I'm waiting to see my cousin play for y'all, Jalen Smith.
Oh, yeah. And that's the funny thing about it is people were talking about Dak and Zeke, and I was like,
Smith, talking about the real blue chipper.
I'm like, Smith probably could end up being the best one out of all of them.
That's what's scary.
He was a top five pick. If he gets back to his form, oh, man.
That's true. You can picture him alongside Sean Lee. Yeah. It's still good.
You still got to be cautious. He'll still have to wear something for that foot because of what I read about the injury. It's where your foot has to flex.
Yeah.
Flex and point your foot. And that's it. Yeah. So the sensation because the nerve has to regenerate. So where his foot flexes and points, he doesn't know if his foot is flexing or pointing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he has to wear something for it. So if he recovers from that, man, and which they say he is looking good, hey, man.
I don't know who I should pick now. I don't know. I'm like in a crossroads between y'all and the Giants to win that division. So
we defended the champs. I have to give up the nod just because the Giants have done nothing to address their offensive line.
And the running game.
I mean, you have to have balance. You have all these weapons now, but Eli's never been that type of quarterback that you want throwing the ball a lot.
Yeah.
You think about it, when they won their championships, they got their running game going with Jacobs and those guys.
Yeah.
You don't want Eli dropping back and throwing the ball 40 times a game. They're not gonna win like that. And with that old line with Flowers, your kid out of Miami still playing left tackle, it's
good old interception. Good old interception. Good old Eli.
Oh yeah, Eli, he's gonna throw.
Odell's gonna do his thing. And I think with some mental issues along the way.
Yeah.
I say I don't think that's gonna change that part, but that still don't mean you're gonna win the game.
I like the defense.
Yeah, they defense nice.
I like the defense, but without that balance on offense, I mean, and no protection, you can drop back and you can have all.
Who's
that
running back?
Is that Paul Perkins up with him?
They don't have no running game.
No running. They have. It's more about the offensive line. They cannot protect.
That's why I give
the edge to Dallas.
Yeah. I told my guy like 2 years ago. I say the offensive line is horrendous. I think that was before they drafted Flowers and stuff like that. I don't know if they're not developing him or something.
Well, he's a natural right tackle.
Yeah. And so.
And they're trying to play him at, and he had the ankle injury, but he's a natural right tackle. He's not a left tackle.
And I think Flowers, which is what shocked me
when they drafted the tight end out of Ole Miss. That's what shocked me.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, Flowers, I've seen Flowers. Flowers, one thing I can say, he's athletic and he's good. But the thing is, like, he goes down, like, dang, trash. I mean,
technique is terrible.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I'm like, who's coaching up these guys?
But that's the thing. You can get away being athletic on the right side.
Yeah.
You can get away kind of being athletic. On that blind side, you can't. You got to be a technician.
And the thing is, I could say at Miami, he was just going off athletic because it's showing now his technique
is raw.
Yeah, his technique is poor. But that's why even when his scouting report was that he was raw and stuff and a work in progress. And they just pretty much threw him that because they had injuries and it's the Giants off the line. I was like, check this out. How do they get so much pressure? There should be no way they should be pressured with a 3-man front. Now I'll tell them, I said, there should be no way he's under duress with a 3-man front. And my homeboy couldn't understand that. I say, there is no way. I say, as soon as Eli dropped back, he's getting pressure from a three-man front. Oh, man, y'all don't want to see us in the playoffs. I said, this ain't 2007 or whenever it is. I say, that's not going to cut it. You're getting, your offensive line is getting beat by a three-man front, by guys that's not stellar. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're not J.J. Watts, nothing like that. They're average players. Okay.
And I have to go through the same, and that's the same issue I think your Bucks are going to have.
Yeah,
offensive line. I mean,
it's all about Smith development. Smith is pathetic. Yeah. Like, he got, man. He got better, but,
we're gonna have a lot of those talks about the NFL. We got a long way to go before we get
right
there. Let's move on to this college football, man.
Yeah. So, man, who is gonna be that surprise team this year? Because there's always a surprise team.
College football, probably a surprise team. I don't see anybody at the SEC. Alabama's gonna run that.
Yeah,
I think ACC, we get the same team. We're going to come down to the same teams.
I think ACC gonna have a lot of teams in bowl games this year.
I think they will, because they have the most. They just have the most team. Them and the SEC have the most teams. They're on the 14-team conferences.
Yeah,
I think the surprise, and it's not so much a surprise, but I see a resurgence of USC.
I was thinking
the way they finished the Rose Bowl, you can't really call that surprise. If I want to go with a dark horse team would probably be Oklahoma State.
Okay.
They got their top rusher, receiver, quarterback coming back. I mean, you see the loss of Bob Stoops at Oklahoma. I mean, Texas, you don't know if Herman has got those guys, you know, to right the ship. So Oklahoma State would be my dark horse team. And, you know, Gundy's been there a while. He's had years where he's had them, like, right there.
Saying USC are, like, my dark horses to just make a big impact. It's like that bowl game is just like.
Well, can you call Penn State a dark horse when they win the Big Ten?
I'm saying I call them a dark horse because I got the consistency. I got them to be consistent.
Okay.
You know, that's why. USC is trending up. Penn State is trending up.
Yeah.
I was looking at their recruit class and all this other stuff, but I'm looking at coaching and stuff like that. They're trending up.
Yeah.
So
they got good coach.
So I'm eager to see how they turn out.
That's your dark horse. That's your dark horse. Who's your bounce back team? Who's your team that had a rough year last year but bounces back?
I say LSU gonna have a bounce back year.
Bounce
back year in the sense that I feel like LSU gonna lose maybe two games this year. They lost four last year. I feel like they're gonna lose two.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna lose to Alabama. Now the other team, I don't know. They're gonna lose to Alabama. That's gonna happen.
My bounce back team is, you got Willie Taggart leaving South Florida and going to Oregon. I think Oregon bounces back.
He's gonna bring a toughness to them.
I think he will.
Because they saw that where they were soft with Chip Kelly. They're more just finesse, and that's why they got beat by Auburn.
Well, you can.
They could have won that Auburn game for that national championship, but I just feel like Auburn was just more physical than them.
Well, that was one of the most boring national championship games. And neither offense was good in that game. And that's what Oregon and hung their hat on their offense. And
That's with Cam.
And what's the guy? I forgot. Deshaun Thomas from Oregon. But neither. Fairly played great.
Yeah, Fairly did. Well, he held up his end of the bar. Cam was lackluster. That's when I started being like, you know, when they trying to force Cam to throw, that's when I kind of started taking notice of him. Like, that's how you get him. Force him to drop back and stuff like that. And, I mean, he's improved, but I just don't feel like that's his niche.
Well, that's what a lot of these college quarterbacks that come out of that system, it's a two-read system.
Yeah.
So once you get, I mean, especially for those national championship games, you give a team a month to prepare.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing you don't run that many different plays. Once I take away your two reads, what are you going to do? And that's the problem. That's the problem with these offenses nowadays. I mean, they're getting. You give them time, they can prepare for you, man.
That's true. It's so much. I'm gonna go ahead and make the bold prediction right now.
Okay.
Some people are like, oh well, this. I'm gonna throw it out there. It's going to be ACC championship gonna be Florida State versus Miami. Florida State gonna win. Florida State gonna beat Clemson this year. Florida State just, I feel like, the best team. Now I don't know what y'all done offensively and stuff like that, but they're gonna beat.
It's all gonna hinge on Florida State's O line.
Yeah, they're gonna.
It's all gonna hinge on. Everything's gonna hinge on their O line. They have to protect Francois because I know you saw all those shots he took last year.
Man, we were trying to break him in Miami. We were trying to knock his face in the ground. In which, you know, I feel like Clemson, Miami's is pretty much a wait and see team. They my team, but it's a wait and see team. So yeah.
I would have them pick to come out the, you know, the, are they in the Atlantic or the coastal? Yeah, I would have them. So, of course, I got Florida State coming out, you know, with Watson going to Clemson. I roll with them.
In which you should.
I'm still gonna roll with my Sooners, but I hate that rule change they did in the Big 12 to where the top two teams are gonna play in a championship game, even though all the teams in the Big 12 play each other. The only conference that does that, by the way, every team plays each other.
That's crazy, man.
But then the top two teams are going to turn around and play. So you could have Oklahoma and Oklahoma State play each other the last game, Bedlam, and then have to turn around and play each other the next week, too, in the Big 12 championship game.
That'd be some weird stuff, man.
That's like, weird. But that's all because the media perception and everybody's pumping up championship games.
I'm playing like this. Miami, so I think going to be right there. Miami and Florida State are going to be ranked in the top five, top ten. Florida State going to be that regardless. And I'm talking about by the end of the season year, and going to be ranked and stuff like that. I feel like that's going to be an ACC right there. I feel like
to me the ACC team, the ACC, I'm going to make a bold prediction. The ACC champ gets left out of the college football playoff.
I can see it. I can see that.
They're going to get left out. I think it would be the Big 12, Pac-12, Big 10, and SEC, which is – you got to stop saying SEC. Just stop saying Alabama.
So Alabama going to the national championship again?
Yep.
Are we slating them already in that position?
They're going to be in the college football playoff.
Okay. I'm throwing Penn State and USC up in there.
I agree. Those are my picks. Those are my picks. I think Ohio State.
USC gonna win that Pac-12.
I think the winner out of the Oklahoma Ohio State game will be in from their conference.
Okay.
If Ohio State beats Oklahoma, they'll get in from the Big. Yeah, I think they can. I don't know. You're right about Penn State. That's tough. You're right about Penn State. I think they can lose to Ohio State and still get in.
That's true.
I think they will run the table versus everybody else. And you've seen it. Everybody gets – you get bonus points for trying, for at least trying to go play somebody out of conference. So that's what I think.
I think it's going to be a good measure. When me and my homeboys, I'm telling you, USC is going to be a better team towards the end. When I say after they play Alabama, I say they're not going to find nobody better than Alabama than who they played. And Penn State gave them a run for their money. But Penn State steadily improved throughout the season.
Yeah. They're two good teams, man. You can't knock them. They're good teams. They both improved. They were young teams, and they improved as they went along. So, I mean, USC's whole turnaround was attributed to just switching quarterbacks.
Yeah.
As soon as they switched to Darnold, I mean, he didn't lose the game. So, and Penn State got their balance going. They're going to be hurting with Goodwin gone. Y'all, that's a good pickup for y'all, your books, Goodwin. I like that pickup for y'all.
Bro,
but,
excited about that pickup. Thing is,
but,
like, it goes back to those things, though. It got to be a good pickup, but you got to protect to get the ball to him.
Exactly. Same thing with the Giants, yeah. Same issue the Giants going to have, yeah.
The thing is, I tell him, man, I love the hype that they're getting, but let's just pump our brakes. I don't care. Until I see it on the field, it's just talk, you know. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man,
yeah.
Let's just say it. Until I see it on the field, talk.
Yeah, you can draw up, you know, you can show up, draw up the offense, you know, write the player's name. Oh, this player's here. You know, like you said, you can play it on paper. Chemistry and all that stuff coming together for a season,
right,
man. That's totally different.
I'm not going to be a paper chap. I want to win. I told him like this trip. I said, I want to win the NFC South. I say like that. I say, I'm not going to hold no man like that. I still feel like we're a team that's kind of, I can't say we're a good team or a great team or none of that stuff because we're not consistent. Good teams are consistent. That's the thing. Tampa, you've done decent. You know what I'm saying? We're in that mediocre. We're building something. That's what they're at right now. Consistency is a sign of a great team, a good team, a great player. Being consistent, you keep your game keep elevating, but it stays at that consistent level of greatness, you know?
Yeah.
Atlanta's coming back. They're going to be loaded. They're coming back. They lost a couple key people. I don't know how they're going to do mentally off, you know, choking, you know. And I look at it like that. We play twice a year. We match up well now. One game they beat us, the first game of the season, we blew them out and stuff like that. So it's not impossible, but division games are so different, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and like the Saints, we have the Saints to like.
Let's get back to this college, man. We done with our NFL talk.
What you got?
Okay. And let's segue into some social issues, man. We you recently just saw Baker Mayfield, quarterback from Oklahoma, right?
Yeah.
And he pled guilty to, public intoxication and, you know, fleeing the scene and all this stuff. And, you know,
what's going on in Norman out there, man?
Well, this happened a while back, but he just pled guilty to it. So he'll do community service and stuff. And it's funny, you know, with social issues going on today, you know, you can't help but notice the privilege in that situation.
Oh, you know,
because certain, and, you know, we just heard about a verdict of, you know, Philando Castile, you know,
yeah.
who didn't flee the scene, who wasn't intoxicated, and he lost his life.
For nothing. And it's a shame.
And like you said, he wasn't the first one. He probably won't be the last one. It's a long list, you know, that just keeps growing and keeps making, you know, it's infuriating.
It's right now, I would say black males are the most, are in the most dangerous spot.
It's not just black males. I mean, you still got treatment. Sandra Bland.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're very... It's sad to say that you can't get no justice in the clear-cut things that are seen. And it all has the same narrative in every last situation. Every same narrative. So what do we do about it? People from outside don't understand the perspective. You're like, oh, well, you know, white people get shot just as much as it is, or Asian people, I'll say, but right now, that's not the emphasis. I say, look at what's occurring. So nobody is found guilty. Nobody has no wrongdoing.
Like you said, it's about justice. It's about justice.
People's
man.
Not even
you can
armed.
Say, exactly.
Not armed. Not doing nothing. Innocent lives are getting taken, and you don't see why.
It can only happen so much.
Yes.
And you can't call it an accident. You can't call it an accident anymore.
Every month or every other month, it's a new case of somebody, something. Oh, this is this and this. And always going back to the same thing. But there was no gun.
You can put your arms up, still get shot. You know. And not only that, you could be completely innocent, nothing, like you said, no gun, but then they'll go to your path and they'll try to do anything to drag your name through the mud.
Yeah. And I feel also just that there's a stereotype about black men and black people, period, that we're naturally aggressive and angry people, which is that's a false. We're not. And so I feel these cops, they're improperly trained, and they're just thinking that it's going to be some type of melee or whatever it's going to be. And so they're scared.
Well, that's fear. That's fear. That's all that is. It's nothing else.
And so that first fear. Time, I'm just going to shoot. No matter what, it could be they blink wrong, pow. Well, they was going for something. What they was going for? They blinked their eyes. They moved.
Here's the thing, though. You signed up for that job. You wanted to become a police officer. You chose that job. You knew the risk. All I wanted to do was drive my car and go home. I didn't think there was a risk in that. I just want to walk down the street.
That's it. That's what we all want, man. You know, and me having sons, they're not the age yet to really explain the situation. So, you know, I pray that it gets better as time, but it's not looking like it's going to get better. It looks like it's going to get worse, even dealing with our current leadership, which is pathetic, but that's another topic.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's just sitting down telling them that you have to be careful, opposed to my person, like a white guy, I know, he'd say, no, I never had to tell my kids that.
Like I said,
that's a shame. That's a shame that we have to tell our kids to be very careful about situations involving police, stuff like that, and nobody else thinking like that. No, white person. And he's a great guy, cool dude. But it's just, look at the difference. You can lose your life over nothing for fear. Stuff like that.
Nothing at all.
And that verdict, it was already predetermined. I knew it was going to turn out that way.
Yeah.
I just knew. And
it's already a precedent. It's already a precedent. We've already seen the past. It just keeps repeating itself. And like you said, when is it going to stop? I don't know. Like you said, it's a good comment I heard. Like, only you have to get, until people get fed up and get angry and organized, nothing is going to change. And here's the thing, you have to stay upset about it. You have to stay upset about it. You can't be mad with this verdict and then, okay, something else grabs your attention.
It's unacceptable.
And then you forget about this until the next incident comes out.
You got to stay on this.
Bringing about it. And how we connect that is my young brother Colin Kaepernick and the issues he was trying to raise, and
with
it seems like
right
he's
now.
Being how he's being blackballed for it.
But yeah, it's very clear. I was like, look at all the quarterbacks that have been picked up.
But every I don't know how you can say I'm not going to sign this dude when we keep seeing the same incidents he was protesting happening still today. And I like Seattle, that whole show Seattle did about bringing him in and stuff I think that was just a show.
Just save face. That's all it was. And then go back and sign Austin Davis. I think that's what he signed.
No, not only did you sign him, you came out and you said, well, he's a Colin Kaepernick is a starter in this league.
Now you're covering yourself up. I'm like, really?
Like, what? Why even make the statement? Why even make that statement?
There was no point. If you didn't have no intention, there's no point to bring him in. Oh, he's a starter in the league. So, yeah, just stop. Just stop. Just say it's just for just a little publicity. Say y'all ain't nothing like that to be involved in the whole NFL situation. It makes y'all actually look worse now. I'm very moved by what Colin's doing. He's doing a lot of positive things for the black community, educating them a lot on a lot of different issues and stuff like that. And so, you know, I go through a lot of blogs and stuff, and I see the comments on them and stuff like that. So, it's, oh, no, he's privileged. I say, what makes him privileged? But his parents were white. I say he didn't have a choice of who his parents was. I say he was adopted. You know,
his mother gave him up. Yeah.
I say, so that doesn't make sense. Well, he's a rich athlete. I say, but he earned that money. He didn't have money before.
That
is
not
like you do a job. I say, just because you have a job, you go and earn money. You're not privileged. You work too.
Just because I have money doesn't mean I can't have an opinion either.
Yeah. That's how it is now. Because you have money, you can't say nothing. You can't voice your opinion on politics.
Yeah, I hear that. They want actors. Oh, actors, just be quiet and act. Don't. No.
Yeah. So.
Okay, man, do they tell you to just come do your job? They tell you just to, you know, go stock shelves or go do this or, you know, go.
It's liberals and this and that and stuff. Man, I say, come on. I say, so it's always liberals and stuff. I said, forget all that stuff. Let's just boil down to
I'm like, nobody's making you listen. You don't have to listen if you don't want to.
That's true. I say, we as black people want to be seen as the same equal as everybody else. I say, we always get isolated. Well, and African American. And it's like, why we're supposed to all be Americans. And that's where the conflict lies. And people don't understand why so many black people have issues with Donald Trump. I say because he isolates us. He separates us into one category. Oh, yeah. I mean, I can do more for y'all than anybody else has ever done. Shouldn't you be trying to do stuff for everybody as a whole?
Period.
That's the whole thing. So it's like we're not a part of America. We're just our own little separate little faction. And that's where the issue lies. That's where it's offensive. And so many people don't understand why people were offended by that statement. I say he makes a very offensive statements toward the black community. And they don't understand it. They don't say, well, like this. I say, that's how it is. I say, people is not going to agree or disagree with him. And I say, majority of African Americans.
They're only going to try to rationalize.
Yeah.
They're going to always try to rationalize, you know, what. Even though somebody says something offensive, they're going to rationalize it. They're going to come up with a way where it's okay in their mind.
True.
And that's
very true.
So,
and that's the whole point. And, you know, and also we have our own issues within the black community because sometimes we're our own worst enemy because we're so big to place down another brother and sister instead of uplifting them.
Just like what we said about you know, the argument about LeBron James and stuff like that, people get on him.
Exactly.
And so, like you said, it's what we call, you know, the old school saying, crabs in a bucket.
Yeah. And that's the whole thing. So you got to keep it pure and original. Just keep it basically on sports. And it's just like, I don't like him. I said, what has he done to you? I don't like him. And I think more so is a comparison to just MJ. People get mad at comparison.
Yeah. Yeah, people put MJ up on this pedestal. They put him up on this pedestal, and anybody that gets close to it, you just try to knock them down.
Exactly.
Just want to knock them down. So
I say, MJ hasn't done nothing for me. I say, MJ hasn't done nothing for you. I say, you buy shoes, you put money in his pocket. I say, the same as LeBron. I say, LeBron hasn't done nothing per se for me, but that doesn't mean he's not. I've seen stuff that he's doing for community, for kids and stuff like that. But I say, I don't have nothing, no reason to just bash him. You know, I hate him. I say,
people don't understand the difference between critique and bash.
Yeah. When we discuss things, it's all critique. We don't know these people personally, so.
Yeah, you
got to
be objective. Yeah.
Yeah.
Last thing you do is bring personal feelings into it.
Yeah. And majority of arguments or debates that we have, voice debates or any type of debate, always be more emotional feelings and stuff like that. It's never just thinking of a clear mind, just sticking to what the script is and stuff like that. Well, that's how it goes nowadays.
Yeah.
So let's just jump.
Speaking of nowadays. What you watching today? What's your go-to sporting event? Now that the basketball season is over, not quite football season, what you tuned in to now, man?
I've been back and forth, people, on my Yankees. You know what I'm saying? I like what I'm seeing with Judge and stuff like that. I still think we're still missing a lot of count, a lot of pieces to do something real special. But I like Jerry. I just hope he stays consistent.
He's looking.
I just hope he stays consistent. I don't want it to be a 1 year thing and stuff like that. Be like, well,
one half of the year. Yeah, you've seen so many teams like halfway after the All Star break.
Yeah. I know you're a Cubbies guy.
Oh, they're struggling right now.
Yeah. I mean, they're trying to stay
afloat above 500. That's all we need. We ain't that far back in our division. If we get in the playoffs, hey, that's all I need.
A guy said one thing, getting in the dance. That's it. Getting in. Everything else can change and stuff like that.
Yep. Speaking of the dance, what I'm watching right now, College World Series, man.
Ooh, man.
Tune in every year. It never disappoints, man. Down to the final eight teams, man.
The last game I think watched was LSU versus I can't think who it was. I want to think they named somebody. That's the last
Florida game. State. They played Florida State. They opening round they beat Florida State, and I think Oregon State opening round beat Cal State Fullerton, the Titans. And today, Florida State and Cal State played an elimination game. They were in a loser's bracket, and Florida State knocked out Cal State Fullerton. Right now, Oregon State is up on LSU 11-0.
Ooh, that's pretty much over.
It looks like they would have to play rematch elimination game versus Florida State. The other side of the bracket, Texas A&M took down Louisville took down A&M in the first round, and Florida beat TCU. So both the Texas schools, TCU and A&M, will play an elimination game tomorrow.
I agree.
So that's what we look at.
It's going to be interesting. Who do you think will be the last two standing?
Oh, man. Right now, Oregon State is the number one team in the country. They're the number one national seed. They play station-to-station baseball. They just keep moving runners around. So I'm thinking they're already up on LSU. They're going to be up 2-0. I think they make it. Florida has the pitching. But
yeah.
I'm going to say Louisville.
Ooh,
it's my darkest. Louisville and Oregon State.
Okay.
I can go with that.
Well, it's about time to wrap it. It was a good show.
I'm going to talk about you tomorrow and
do another one. Get time for me
and stuff like that. Tomorrow we're going to knock in. We're going to put in a little bit of that geek culture in there too. Marvel
with
DC and movies.
I'm with that. So y'all have a blessed night. I'm signing out. Mr. Rush, you got any words for him to finish us off?
Hey, man, y'all come back. Enjoy the culture.
Always.